Okay, so we've been through the first tetrad, and I think for some of you, this might be rich enough for the rest of the retreat in a way. You could happily, I think, and very usefully just practice with it. So we're already at a point where there's a dimension of guiding your own practice and going at your own pace with the material, okay? So the first four stages, it's a samatha base for the whole sutta. Actually, the next two will also help a lot with that we're about to go into. And they're roughly analogous to the four stages of the mindfulness of breathing as we're usually taught it. What that practice is trying to do when we're taught it as a samatha practice. So I'll just help you make the connection a little bit more in case it seems elusive. While breathing in long, one knows I breathe in long. While breathing out long, one knows I breathe out long. While breathing in short, one knows I breathe in short. While breathing out short, one knows I breathe out short. Those are the first two. And we explored them by looking at location, where we come onto the breath, and where we're experiencing it, the duration, which I think has two meanings, the way the length and shortness of the breath, but also the entirety. Bring with the breath over the entirety of an in-breath, the space, and the entirety of an out-breath. Yeah, so the whole duration of it, we're mindful of it. So we looked at location, duration, and quality, which is quality, the texture, yeah, the actual flavor. So this is no different than when someone just says, well, become aware of the breath. It's just more detail. Sometimes it gets very vague. The basic question, I think, is helpful, is what's happening now? Sometimes I say it to you, it's very useful for you to say it to yourself. You know, just what's happening now? It's a way to connect. And location and duration and quality is just a way to come into your experience. What's happening now? Oh, well, maybe if it's a blank, or if I, you know, just don't know what to do, I could look into location, duration, or quality. And there's a lot you could do with any one of those. What I do is just go with where your interest is, where there seems to be something happening, and just play with that one thing for as long as it seems to be beneficial. When we do the first two contemplations, you could just do the first two stages of the mindfulness of breathing as we are taught it. I think it's very useful, using a light counting to help us stay with the breath if we feel distracted. If you don't feel distracted, you can skip the counting. If you all of a sudden start feeling very distracted, then you can add it back in. Yeah, so it's just there to help. Okay, so then one trains oneself, the third contemplation, sensitive to the whole body I breathe in, sensitive to the whole body I breathe out. So it's got a little bit more of an expansive feeling, right? The breath is no longer the exclusive object. This is sort of like the third stage of the mindfulness of breathing, where we become aware of the breath sort of more as a whole, which means that we're becoming more aware of the body, ideally, in the third stage of the mindfulness of breathing. The one difference might be, but it might not be. So in the fourth stage of the mindfulness of breathing, we then go on to this guarding one point. We keep the mindfulness one place, which is a way to calm everything down through the path of becoming more concentrated. So if you'll remember yesterday when I said calming, there's two ways. One is release, and one's a little bit more specificity and precision and wise discipline. So on the wise discipline approach, guarding one point and being really precise there is really helpful for getting more concentrated. It's like the pencil sharpener for what's called ekagata, the factor, dhyana factor of one-pointedness. So at first that factor is just kind of the ability to concentrate. Roughly speaking, yeah, we sit down, roughly able to just be present. We aim the mind and we try to stay with the experience. So being roughly present, ekagata, aiming the mind, vitaka, vichara, staying with the experience. So all these factors are kind of working together to help us just be present. So if we take a pencil sharpener on that ability to generally just be kind of concentrated, make it one-pointed, keeping the awareness at one point, and that can help calm everything down because we're just getting more concentrated. Okay, so that's one route to stability, samatha. The other way to work, which I talked about, was the release method, which I think would be just staying with that third stage of the mindfulness of breathing. If it feels like going tight will just obstruct the work you're doing, you can just stay with that third stage. Actually, Bhante talks about this in the Dhyana for Beginner transcripts. I found it really interesting. It was very loose. It was very early days talking about meditation. It was so early that they were wondering if chanting while walking was a little unnecessary and really maybe unspiritual. They've sorted that out since then. It's interesting, it's quite loose about, well, you could stay more loose, more open, a kind of more open flavor to your mindfulness in the third stage of the mindfulness of breathing. You don't have to go to the fourth stage, which is a little bit more that kind of one-pointedness. So, you're feeling pretty full up already, and it would just be helpful to keep doing that work. Then what you can do is, you can learn how to ignore what the meditation leader is saying, which is a very good skill. It's good if you can learn how to consciously do that, to just have it happen to you without realizing it. So you can start practicing that. So it's just sounds going on. There's sound happening. It's just part of your overall experience. But you're not needing to interact with it. And you're just guiding your own practice. So you're ignoring completely what I'm saying. I'm sure some of you have been doing this quite well. And then you just stay in the fourth stage, mindfulness of breathing, or progressing through those stages at a pace that works for you. You're getting on with what you need to get on with. So you sort of know, I know what I'm doing. I'm just going to do a four-stage practice, and more input just is actually not going to help me. So I'm just going to kind of get on with my thing. I know it's helpful to have the support of other people meditating. That's why it's useful to learn how to ignore what the leader's saying, so that you can have the support of other people meditating and be doing what you need to do. Chogyam Trungpa had that great, the masterpiece, right? Cutting Through Spiritual Materialism. Fantastic. There's books with all this stuff in it. You don't need to feel like there's something incredible that's going to happen and I'm just going to miss it, and that would be the difference between me being enlightened on this retreat or not. You know? So don't worry about it. It's really good to learn what it is that would be most helpful and just to have the confidence to do it. It's intuition in meditation. It's great to find that voice, your intuitive voice, and then learn to trust it. You know, learn to really know the voice of Mara, you know, the voice of deception and illusion, and know the voice of true, deep intuition, you know, your own inner wisdom. So as we go along, we'll just take some time to get established in the breath and the body, and I'll just say that's what we're doing. If you feel you need a little support, if you're ever kind of wondering, then just use that four-stage practice of the mindfulness of breathing. It's always kind of there for us. There might be something that you found particularly interesting, like location, then use that as your form.